Peace be with you. Welcome to the D Show. And you tuned in just at the right time for this exciting episode with a former member of the NOI. He was with this nation, and now he is here on the D Show. He's been with us before, and he's got a really great explanation on how you can give birth to what's already inside of you so you can really fulfill your purpose in life, and you can have that peace, contentment, and happiness. We got so much to cover with our next guest, Imam Kasim Khan. When we come back here in the Deen Show, don't go anywhere. This is the Deen Show. 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 This is the thing, this is the thing. Peace be with you.
Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam rahmatullah.
How are you, Sheikh? How are you doing?
Great. Alhamdulillah. I feel good. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too. Don't give it up yet. We talked about giving birth to something that's already inside
every
human being, but we're not going to tell them quite yet, okay?
That's right.
How Snoop Doggy Dogg? Remember the show we did?
And yeah, I remember that show.
Did he accept Islam?
I remember that show.
Have you heard anything about Snoop?
No, I haven't heard anything yet, except on YouTube. I've seen a couple things where the people who don't understand Islam or listen to him among famous people that accepted Islam. That's the only problem I have with it, you know, because it's not really pure Islam that he accepted.
Now, I mentioned you were with the former NOI. Most people who watched that show, it really, you know, resonated with a lot of people. A lot of people ended up coming to the real Islam. How was the feedback? Have you gotten any?
A lot of feedback, even when I travel, because I've been traveling around the world quite a bit, giving khutbahs and lectures and so forth, and I'm always running into people who have watched the Deen Show and who watch it continuously. And they reflect on that particular episode more than the other ones that I've done, you know. And so it really helped them to understand, because many people still don't understand. And they, in fact, I refer to that episode when people ask me, what's the difference between Muslims now and Farrakhan? They ask that question, no matter what country I go to. And rather than for me to spend a lot of time explaining, I refer to that show. I said, watch it and then come and ask me some more questions. Mm-hmm. Because it was pretty thorough. You did a great job asking the right questions.
MashaAllah, you did a great job answering, alhamdulillah. So what do you see are some of the obstacles? You're out in the field, you're sharing this message because we love for all of mankind what we love for ourselves, that people be upon the way that's from the Creator and they really find what the purpose of life is. Now when you're out there, you're talking to the not yet Muslims, because everyone has the innate
right
mechanism built in to submit to the Creator alone.
Absolutely.
What are some of the obstacles that you've seen out there?
Actually, I only run into one obstacle, and that is the people's addiction to the media. Mm-hmm. Even many Muslims, but the people who I talk to about Islam, many of them are so attached to the media that they begin to think that whatever they see on TV or see on the internet or whatever, reading the newspapers, is accurate information. For the most part, it's not accurate. And so that's the only obstacle. I would have thought that just because, you know, some people just don't like Islam, you know, that it would be an obstacle. But that's not an obstacle. What I find as I talk to people, that it's not that they don't like Islam. They just don't understand it. Because when I explain to them what Islam actually is and what Muslim actually means, then they find out that they actually love it. So then if they accept it, they understand what they're accepting. If they continue to reject it, at least they'll know what they're rejecting.
Mm-hmm. Do you see sometimes Muslims getting in the way of the da'wah?
Sometimes Muslims who are over-assertive, who don't study, they get in the way. The other thing that gets in the way as far as some Muslims is some Muslims who are not serious about practicing the deen, they get in the way because they have a tendency to compromise their weaknesses. You know, there's Muslim women who refuse to cover, and they discredit the importance of covering by blaming it on the Western society and so forth in the modern times, and they blame it on 9/11, you know. And they get in the way because they will open their mouth and start trying to justify it, and that will weaken the new people, the people who are just beginning to embrace Islam. Then we have the men, the males, who want to justify their weaknesses, because some of them like to hang on to their cigarettes, some of them like to use profanity, some don't even like to dress properly. We have some males that are Muslims that sag their pants, wear short t-shirts, and so forth, and they refuse to be identified in a modest Islamic way. In Islam, the Islamic dress is not necessarily the way that I'm dressed. This thobe is not necessarily Islamic. What's Islamic dress is modesty. That's the Islamic dress. What you have on right now is modest. A loose-fitting sports jacket. You're neat, you're clean. You trim your beard, it looks nice. That's Islamic dress. You know, so, but some of the people, the Muslims and men and women, have a tendency to compromise their deen by struggling too hard to fit in. And it's not our responsibility as Muslims to fit in. We're supposed to stand out.
Mm-hmm. Stand out. And you, before we started the show, you had mentioned that now just by your behavior, you are setting an example, either the wrong example or the right one.
Right.
Can you emphasize on that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The best form of da'wah is character. The best form of da'wah is what we do, not necessarily what we say. We don't have to be a scholar to attract people to Islam. Just carry yourself in a dignified way with basic human ethics. The basic human ethics that were taught to us by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, you know, that uswatun hasana, that beautiful character that he had, to demonstrate that in the public, to show peace and measurable compliance. Compliance means that we want to tolerate. We want to be tolerant of people only to the point where we show them that we appreciate the diversity. But appreciating diversity does not mean compromising our religion. So we have to be polite to people. We have to be patient. We have to understand that that Almighty God, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, He put some of Him in everybody, and we have to see that there's some good in everyone. And if someone has a bad personality or a negative attitude, then it's our responsibility to try to show them the good that's inside of them and bring it out. That's the da'wah. That's how we do it. That's how we attract people to Islam.
And now, if you are not executing or implementing one of the injunctions that the Creator has told us to do, you had mentioned a lot of people, they end up not just, you know, keeping silent, saying this is one of my weaknesses, but they start to fight against this and advocate against it, actually doing the opposite of what they should be doing.
Yeah, they'll begin to justify what they have, and it doesn't help them. Mm-hmm. You know, or they may accept Islam in principle, but they won't practice it.
Yeah,
da'wah is so easy nowadays. Mm-hmm. Every time somebody says something negative in the media about Islam, da'wah becomes easier, but what happens is we don't follow up correctly.
Yeah.
People will claim shahada, the shahadatain, meaning to bear witness of two things. I bear witness that there's no God but Allah, and I bear witness that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the messenger of Allah. That's a shahadatain. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And they'll say it with words, and we'll get happy in the masjid, and we'll call takbirs, Allahu Akbar, and we'll embrace them, and all of that. Then we just let them go. But they need to be nurtured. They need to be mentored. And what happens is they don't embrace the practice of Islam. They just embrace the name, you know. And then some weak Muslims. And by weak Muslims, I don't necessarily mean those who are totally corrupted. I mean those that have some weaknesses that they justify. And they go around the new Muslims justifying their weaknesses, and they give the new Muslims the impression that it's okay, you know, and we're making the same problem. We're committing the same offense against our youth. Our youth, meaning the Muslim youth, the Muslim parents, are making a huge mistake justifying their weaknesses in the presence of the children.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with more on this very important topic with Imam Khan here on The Deen Show. Don't go anywhere.
Please subscribe to The Deen Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Deen Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on the Dean Show. So it's really good to have you back again. And we're talking about, you know, always on the Dean Show, we talk about really important issues. We're going to be, people are tuning in, they're like, what is he talking about? What's inside of me that I can give birth to? Don't let it out the bag yet. You know what? We hear the sound right now, and we're like, what's this? What's going on? There's top three that we need to ask you to get familiar with you. Many people have seen you on the Dean Show before, but some people don't know too much about you. So real quick, we're going to ask you three of the things that the people want to know. What's your favorite food, Sheikh?
My favorite food?
Yeah, if you have one.
Yes, I do. Fresh fruit.
Fresh fruit? So you like fruit too. What kind of sports? You know, they see a lot of the imams out there. They're really active and engaged. But for leisure time, is there any sport that you like to play?
Spectator or participation?
Either one.
Spectator is football highlights, basketball highlights, all highlights of the sport. I like to watch the highlights, no matter what sport it is, baseball, soccer, football, basketball. I watch the highlights. I don't like to watch the game.
And the last one, are you Imam Siraj Wahaj's younger brother?
No. Well, in Islam, no, actually, I'm 1 year older than Imam Siraj. Yeah.
How's he doing, by the way?
He's doing terrific. He's doing so good that he's worried about us.
You know. So we can give him salams. I know he watches the Dean Show. He's been on the Dean Show. We hope to have
him. Sound like him, Imam Siraj.
So continuing on now, where we left off, people getting in the way by justifying their bad behavior that goes against the Quran and the Sunnah. Mm-hmm. So what advice do you have for them? If it's a weakness, you obviously you want to change that, but don't justify it now.
What I would like to do is answer your question by beginning with the parents. I like to start with the parents.
Yes.
Because the parents have the children in the palm of their hand, actually. And the children are kind of like clay. You know, in all of the scriptures, whether Christian scriptures, Islamic scriptures, man's beginning was with clay. And clay, the nature of clay is pliable, you know, in its original form. You know, you can shape it and mold it. And then when you apply heat to it, heat or time to it, it becomes permanent in the shape that you put it in. And that's the way our children are. The children come into this world pliable, and we shape and mold them. And if we don't shape and mold them correctly, the heat or the time will make them almost permanent in that spot. So we have to be very, very careful. And we give children the wrong impression. And we have a tendency as parents to take attention off of the oneness of Allah, which is Tawheed. We take the attention off of that, and we subconsciously condition our children to seek the approval of and the validation of human beings. How do we do that? Because we, the parents, we tell our children, if you say your prayers, mommy and daddy will be proud of you. If you wear your hijab, mommy and daddy will be proud. If you say your prayers, if you memorize the Quran, mommy and daddy will be proud. And so we're subconsciously training and conditioning our children to seek the approval of a human being, which is us. Then we send them out into the world, to the schools, to the marketplace, or where have you. Then we're not there, but they are conditioned in their condition that we put them in to seek the approval or validation of human beings. There's other human beings there to influence them, but they may not have the best interest at heart. Our young children will hear things from other human beings like, if you take off that scarf off your head, we'll be proud of you, we'll like you more. If you smoke this marijuana, we'll be proud of you, we'll like you more. If you have a boyfriend, have a girlfriend, if you have a baby, you know, if you join our gang, you know, we'll be proud of you. But actually, and then our children will come back to the house with those bad habits, and we'll blame it on their peers. But we're the one that made them conditioned to seek the approval or validation of other human beings, because we're human beings. What my advice to the parents is, change our language. We should say, if you say your prayers, if you wear your hijab, if you keep your mouth clean, Allah will be proud of you and will be happy with you as parents because you're trying to please Allah. That way, when they go back out into the world and their friends try to say that to them, to something negative, if you join this gang, if you take this thing off your head, or so on and so forth, smoke this cigarette, we'll be proud of you. You say, yeah, but God won't be proud of me. Satan, the devil, might be proud of me because that's who you're trying to please. But God won't be proud of me, and that's who I'm trying to please. And that will help the children. That will strengthen them. But we wait too long. We're not fair to the kids. We wait until they get 16, 17 years old, and we go whining to the imam, "Will you talk to my daughter? She won't cover. Can you talk to my son? He wants to marry a non-Muslim." Say, well, you messed him up. You spent 16 years messing up your child, and you want the imam to fix in one 30-minute khutbah what you spent 16 years messing up. That's not fair to them or anyone else.
Yeah, that's profound. That's deep. So we start with the parents, the raising the children right from the beginning at home, not waiting now till the ship sails 16 years later.
Yeah, I mean, there's still hope for the ones that are older. But now there's no sense in talking to the parents after they get older. We have to go straight to the juggler. Now we have to give a message, which I hope to do in this segment, of going giving a message directly to the adolescent Muslim teenager.
That's what we're going to do when we come back, along with giving birth to what's already inside you so you can have that peace, happiness, and contentment in life. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show. Okay, so you gave the message to the parents, but now you're going straight to, what do you call it, the juggler?
Yes.
Okay, so now you go straight to the youth now, or now this is a young adult. Okay?
Yeah, that's called
But now
that.
He's stuck playing Xbox all day, maybe smoking weed, you know, going to the nightclubs, cursing, listening to music, and he hears from his parents saying, come to Salat, come to success. Once in a while, maybe for Jummah, but I mean, some other things are tantalizing him. What advice do you have?
Okay, I want to deal with the youth on two extremes, because you mentioned one extreme, the youth, that the Muslim youth that are, they're becoming corrupted, the ones that are using drugs, the ones that are sexually active without marriage, the ones that are dressing inappropriately, the ones that are cursing their parents. That's one extreme. The other extreme is those that become totally over-educationalized, for lack of a better term. They want their careers. They want to go to college. They want to get a degree. They want to become a doctor, an engineer. They want to do all of the, an attorney. They have these careers, but yet they have become so westernized and so debriefed Islamically that all they're thinking about is money. All they're thinking about, all they can see is their career. And they put their career ahead of Salat. They put their career ahead of Ibadah. They put their career even ahead of Ramadan or going to the masjid to make Salat. They put their careers there. And they don't think about the importance of the fact that they are Muslims and the Islam that should have been put in them, that they should have internalized all their life, should be put into their careers. So that when they become a doctor, an engineer, a nurse, an attorney, or whatever field they go to, even if it's a carpenter or electrician, that they should take the best of Islam and put it in that field of their endeavor. That they don't just become a regular doctor, a regular nurse, that they become one whose influence in that field, whose influence in a society, in humanity, has been embellished by their love for Islam, their love for Allah, and their loyalty to the Sunnah, the life example of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And that's how we could change the world. That's the role, the significant role of the Muslim youth here in America, that when our youth enters the job market and they enter the industrial field and they enter the professional fields and all of these fields of endeavor, that they can change the way they think. Look at the professions now where there's so much corruption. Athletes. We have a lot of good Muslim athletes that have a lot of potential, but we don't want them to follow the footsteps of the ones who become millionaires and kill people, or millionaires and start using drugs and so forth, partying at night in nightclubs and getting in brawls and all of that. We don't want them to become doctors that compromise their morals, treating women inappropriately just because they're gynecologists. We want our children to get this education, become professionals, and then apply the Quran and Sunnah to their profession so that they can show the world that this is how professionalism is supposed to be. And you cannot separate God consciousness from your lifestyle, because that's where the danger is, and that's what's problem. That's the problem with the world. Now, that's one side of the coin. The other side is those who have been totally corrupted, the Muslim children that have become a product of their environment. And they become a product of environment, going back to the last segment, because our parents failed to, we as parents, failed to train these children to understand that what they should do to please Almighty Allah, that He can see us though we cannot see Him, and that He is watching us and recording what we do, and that He can take away our beauty, take away our youth, because He, everything that Allah created was created to obey Him. And everything that we have is a visitor. We're guests. Not only are we guests, our youth is a guest. Our beauty is a guest. Our strength is a guest. Our age, our youth, everything is a guest. Our abilities are guests. And when these guests come, they're visiting us, and they visit us until Almighty Allah tells that visitor to leave. When life is with us now, the life is only a visitor. Allah says in the Quran, Al-haqumu takathur hatta zutumul makabir kalla sawfa ta'lamun. He said the mutual piling up of material things will divert you from the more serious things until you visit the graves. We're just visitors. Even when we die, we're only visitors. Allah says, do not speak of those who die in the way of Allah as being dead. That means that when you die, you're only dead for a quick moment. You have to die so you can come alive again. So we have to teach our children to die in that stage of immorality and come alive in that stage of morality Islamically.
Yes.
If we don't do that, then we're going to lose.
Now, what the people have been waiting for, they want purpose, they want peace, happiness, contentment, which money can't buy. And you talked about something already being inside.
Yes.
Giving birth to it.
Absolutely. And not only just giving birth, but bringing forth that was within. That's actually what birth is. Allah says in the Quran, and reverence the wombs that bore you. Give respect for where you came from. The Muslim literally means one who, that which has the nature to submit to the will of God. Everyone and everything that Allah created has that nature. So it's inside of us. People have a problem with the terminology. Methodists, Baptists, Episcopalians, Zoroastrians, Buddhists, everyone has that nature to submit to God inside of them. You give birth to that nature inside of you, which is Muslim, which is Islam, by making a conscious effort to obey the Creator that gave it to you. That's how. So when you give birth to that, what does it mean? Allah says, we have named you Muslim both before and in this revelation. So, but what makes a person call themselves Muslim? When we make a conscious decision, a conscious effort to live according to the nature that we are created to be, to submit to the will of God, a constant act of submission. Islam is what is called a verbal noun. It means it's the act of submitting. It doesn't just mean submission. It means that everything we do, we should consider the pleasure of our Lord, the Creator. Everything that we say, even the friends that we choose, we should choose friends based on His criteria, not ours. He says in Surah 3, Ayat 118, He says, take not into your intimacy those outside your ranks, because they will not fail to corrupt you. Rank hatred has already appeared from their mouths, and what their hearts conceal is far worse. He's telling us how to choose our friends. We can be friendly with people, but we can't get too intimate with them if they're not interested in God consciousness. And that's what we begin to lose.
God consciousness, that's the key.
That's the key.
And everyone has it inside of them to give birth to this.
Everyone.
Everyone.
Even the meanest and nastiest people have Islam inside of them. And that's why they're so mean, because they haven't brought the best out of them. And it's up to us, those of us who are believing Muslims. Our responsibility is to help bring out the best that's within inside of them, so they can rise to the excellence of the human potential.
Beautiful. Thank you for being with us. We started with
my
peace.
My pleasure.
We end with peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Good to see you.
Good to see you too. Thank you, Sheikh. And that was what you were waiting for all the way to the end, to give birth to what's already inside of you. And we covered a lot of great things. Those guests that visit us, as was eloquently explained by our guest, time, life, all of these things that we take for granted. But remembering that all of the things that we're doing now, they become a past tense. I was here, I've been there. And this whole life, as the Iman was discussing with us, sharing with us that that guest will also leave us life. And then what have we done with this life when it leaves us? Did we prepare ourselves for the next life? Did we just indulge in our passions, lusts, and desires and let it rule us and run us? And then we didn't achieve any great thing in this life other than just following our lusts and desires? Think about it. Think about it and really look to achieve greatness in this life and do what he said. And that's giving that birth to what's already inside of you. And who is the one that can best help you achieve that? Is the one who created you. So beseech his help. Ask him for this. And definitely he will facilitate the way. Make sure you tune in every week to The Dean Show. Subscribe if you haven't already. And we'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.